back on another episode of Brick House. I'm Bob Johnson, joined with my co-host here.
I'm Matt Baker.
Hey, Matt, welcome back. We're actually almost to some respectable teams in the playoffs. Not quite, but almost there.
Yeah, almost, almost.
We got the sixth team, projected sixth team out east in today's episode, number 13 overall, the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh.
Oh, Canada. These guys, for some reason, made me think of a hip hop group that doesn't have any like icon legend level rappers, but fabulous MCs nevertheless. And you know, you could choose a few different hip hop groups, but I'm going with A Tribe Called Quest on this one.
I already love it.
Yeah, and you know, people might accuse me of hating on Q-Tip or Fife Dog. I'm not.
No.
I would turn it back and say, like, hey, why are you hating on Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan? These are some quality players. These aren't Vince Carter-level guys. These are some quality guys.
Q-Tip, one of the best voices in all of hip-hop ever, I think.
I agree. So this is completely a compliment. So they've got a well-rounded group of guys. No transcendent players, but I think together they're pretty damn good. Apart, they don't really shine that much. You know, I haven't seen the Tribe Called Quest documentary, and I feel like, you know, maybe that would mess up my whole analogy. So I'll wait until after this analogy to watch that.
Ignorance is bliss, Bob.
Let's not think too hard about it, though. Let's move on. Let's tell the audience how the Raptors came to be where they are now.
Previously on the Toronto Raptors.
I say these guys are a slightly better version of the Charlotte Bob Nets or whatever the hell that team in Charlotte's called.
Yeah. I think it's the Bobcats, Bob.
Yeah, I think the main thing that they have going for them is that this not only the city
that they play
of Toronto.
In the East.
Well, yeah, anybody in the East really has that going for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, as opposed to Charlotte where they have to compete with you know, what do they call it? Tobacco Road of Duke, North Carolina, and Wake Forest. Toronto has not only that great city of Toronto behind their team, but pretty much all of Canada, only NBA team in the entire country.
Right.
Not to mention they have Drake.
They do, whether they want him or not.
Yep. He's all he cares about is money and the city that he's from.
Have you seen Drake lately?
Making out with Serena Williams?
No, I haven't seen that. But he is like a muscly man now. Have you seen? He's getting like muscle mass.
Getting swole.
Yeah, and
as they say,
he had like a goatee thing. He looked like he was going into like villain Drake.
I think he's just tired of losing in arm wrestling to his girlfriend.
Yeah. Okay. There's that. That is true.
Besides Drake, I think one of the coolest things they've co-opted. They already co-opted the success of Jurassic Park back in '93, and we'll go into that and how they got their name back then. But recently, with their playoff T-shirts, they've been co-opting Game of Thrones type themes. You know, you said in the previous podcast that you're not familiar with Game of Thrones, but their whole shirt's about We Are the North.
Yeah.
That's all from the
show.
That's
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all the Stark family. They're from Winterfell.
Okay.
They're sort of the outsiders and also the good guys in the show. So Toronto has sort of co-opted that.
Good
very,
with
very proud.
Good in quotations.
Good for people that behead people.
Yeah.
And that sort of
They're
thing.
They're the
right.
better beheaders of the group of beheaders.
Right. they do so in a moral way.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
there's not a whole lot of previously on. They've only been in the NBA since 1993, and honestly, they haven't done much since then. Let's get into who created this team. How did the Toronto Raptors come to be? I didn't even know dinosaurs lived in Canada.
You know, up until about 100 years ago, no one knew dinosaurs lived anywhere. So,
dinosaurs roamed the earth in Utah 300 years ago.
They created dinosaurs, jazz music, and burritos. That's what they created.
The initial sentiment back in 93 when they were going to make an expansion team was they wanted to revive the Huskies nickname, but they were afraid that no matter what they did, it was going to be impossible to design a logo that did not exactly look like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hard.
So what they did was they had over 2,000 entries and had fans write in for suggestions for the team name. Now keep in mind, this was in 1993 or 94, the year after Jurassic Park had came out. So I'll tell you the top 10 candidates besides the Raptors that year. They were the Beavers, the Bobcats, the Dragons, Grizzlies, Hogs, Scorpions, T-Rex, singular, yeah, Tarantulas, and Terriers.
Okay, first of all, Dragons sounds like they asked a child what they should name the team.
I bet if the team came out in 2013 with the peak of Game of Thrones popularity, yeah, they might be the fucking Dragons.
Yeah, well, that is true. And Tarantula.
We're blue meth.
You know? Yeah. They're the Tarantulas and Scorpions, like, this isn't in Phoenix. What is this, like?
Right.
I would understand if they wanted a franchise. And I would imagine when they came out with the Suns that or the Diamondbacks that Tarantulas and Scorpions were legitimately two of the proposed names. Yeah, they would be
I would have loved to see a T-Rex mascot, like, trying to dunk off a trampoline with his mini arms.
Little arms. Yeah. What about, and if a team was this year, would they be like the Toronto Winter is Coming type? Right. Yeah, like they just go for it.
I think so. They dress like the Mountain and the Viper.
The Toronto started from the bottoms, and now we're here. Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot of sports writers have been calling them the Drakes.
Yeah.
Since Drake has become unofficially part of the team.
Well, you know, ever since Drake was told that he can't really outwardly associate with the University of Kentucky, he has to. You hear about that?
No.
Kentucky was worried that Drake would have too much influence over recruits to a point where it would be a violation.
Was Kentucky worried about that? Or was the NCAA worried about that? Because Kentucky seems to do whatever they want until someone says, like, that's probably crossing the line.
I say Kentucky is worried about it only in the fact that someone alerted them to they probably should act like they're worried about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so Drake has to focus all of his energy on the Raptors now and Serena Williams too. So,
well, and the ownership of the Toronto Raptors is rather confusing, I have to admit. You know, I could try and understand it and convey the message to our audience, but just take my word for it, that's boring as fuck. And in 1998, the Maple Leaf Gardens LTD, the owners of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the hockey team, they bought the arena, which makes sense to me. You know, they instead of a basketball owner just, you know, going and throwing in the hockey team for an extra $50 million, hockey is so big in Canada that they taking those hockey dollars to buy the little basketball team with the Raptors nickname. You know,
completely reverse from it is in United States.
Yeah. I mean, well, in 98, they paid a reported $467 million. That includes the Canada Center as well.
The Air Canada Center.
But that's $179 million, or $179 million for the team, $288 million for the arena. But enough about that boring segment. Let's talk about the players on the team here. Let's talk about a tribe called the Raptors.
And now, the starting lineup for your Toronto Raptors!
So, you already mentioned Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in your Tribe Called Quest analogy.
Yeah.
Lowry
first-time All-Star last year.
Yeah, Lowry.
Starting All-Star.
Lowry is a... Is this a good comparison for Lowry? He's becoming... And I know they're the different players, but you remember that time when Sean Marion was very much underrated, even though everyone knew he was good?
Right.
So with Lowry, he's underrated, even though we all know he's very good. Does that make sense?
I think starting point guard in the Eastern Conference, if I'm catching your drift here, might be a little overrated for Kyle Lowry. I mean, it is pretty funny, though, that his All-Star vote cost Kyrie Irving some like $15-20 million, because if Kyrie would have been voted to the All-Star team for a second time in his first 3 years in the league, he would have been subject to the Derrick Rose clause,
yeah,
and would have been eligible for a max extension, which is like 25% of the cap, which would have made Cleveland even more over the cap than they already
would have put him in a weird way.
But another guy they re-signed this summer, a free agent they re-signed of their own, is Jonas Valanciunas. He's been a pretty solid NBA player, not transcendent, but as far as a center in the league, he's been solid. And they gave him a contract that seems to predict that he's going to get better. The other free agency pickups were kind of surprising payoffs, but maybe what's necessary for the Raptors to get free agents. They gave Damari Carroll $15 million a year.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, that's definitely up there with one of the most surprising contracts of the year. Although Corey Joseph, who they paid, I believe, $7 million a year to be a backup.
Yeah, $7, $8 million a
year. Yeah, I think it's a three-year, $21 million contract.
Oh, right, he's a backup. But I think that was just a product of the... I forget what we talk about on the podcast and what we talk about off the podcast. How
championship bump.
Just the Spurs bump in general.
Yeah.
And that was one of those... They signed... We'll get this, I guess, when we get to the Spurs podcast, but... They signed Corey Joseph for $7, $8 million a year, and the Spurs replaced him with a couple players who were probably not much worse, but combined made the same amount of money.
Yeah, you could get 5 David Wests for that money.
Yeah, they have a good amount of depth starting out. Don't sleep on or go to completely asleep on Bismack Biyombo. Do whatever you want with that signing. That was a good Jordan draft pick.
Yeah, I think the guys I'm going to be watching in front of him in the depth chart are definitely Patrick Patterson and Luis Scola.
I like both those players as forward depth. I don't know if I like them as starters. I guess Patterson I would take as a starter because he's a vet who isn't a loose cannon. Like if a young team needed some sort of veteran presence to kind of help stabilize a locker room, I would take Patrick Patterson.
Hey, and Luis Scola.
Right.
I mean, as a Rockets fan, I've always loved Scola since his 27-year-old rookie debut in the NBA.
Yeah.
But he's tearing up the international competition this summer. You know, he's always been the guy with a 3-inch vertical that could get 17 points.
He's just a grinder.
17 points a game. And he's got that Shakespearean haircut, too. Just a goof. In fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was sort of talking about the difference. It was Zach Lowe and Rachel Nichols. And they were talking about the difference between European players or, you know, international players and American players, where Zach Lowe is sitting at Scola's locker and they're just sort of talking about, like, yeah, maybe that team, maybe they partied too hard last night. Like, it seemed like maybe they drank too much or something. And then all the media shows up and everybody in the locker room has having the same sort of conversation.
Yeah.
The media walks in and all the American players stop talking like that. But Luis Scola just keeps going on. Like, the difference is American players are taught not to tell the truth about things.
Yeah.
Whereas these international players, man, really give a shit.
Scola just says what he needs to say.
Yeah. Record prediction. Last year, they were 49-33.
Wow. Let's see. What seed? We have them as the sixth seed?
Sixth in the East, which could be as low as, like, 41 wins.
So yeah. I
think Milwaukee had six in the East with 41. A 500 record this past year.
I don't know. I would say 49 is a lot of wins, even in a bad conference.
Sure.
But they had 48 the year before, so it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
I'll say 47.
47.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them at 50-32. I mean, one game improvement, like you said, one game improvement from the previous year. Until they show me something, I'm just considering them right in this place. This is where they are. This is where they're going to stay, unless they can break out. Well, let's move on to our next segment where we mention the king. What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James? James mentioned on the Raptors is that you probably know this, Matt, but last year LeBron almost played with 3 Canadians.
Wait, what?
Last year when he signed with the Cavaliers and decided to go home, there were 3 Canadians on the Cavs.
Tristan Thompson
is the only one that remains. They traded Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins to get to get Kevin Love, and even Tristan Thompson's future with the Cavs seems uncertain. Yeah, maybe the King's got something against maple syrup.
Maybe he does.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Matt, I haven't prepped you with this question at all, and there's a reason for that. Now we're talking about the only team in the NBA that is not in the United States.
Yeah.
Matt, this is going to be a rapid fire question.
Whoa.
Where you'll see why, but you have to answer without much thought. Here it goes. Let's say you've committed a horrible crime. Already off to a good start.
Yes,
right?
It's great.
Okay. So you've committed a horrible crime. If you prefer, you could say that you were framed, but we all know you did it. Okay. So secret operatives, they come to your house and they tell you, pack your bags, Matt, because it's time for you to leave the country in the next 20 minutes. Okay. The country is of your choice and you will live there for the rest of your life.
Okay.
You may be able to visit other countries. We're not sure yet, but for sure, you are never coming back to the United States ever again. Otherwise, you know, you would be arrested and charged with treason.
Mm-hmm.
Which country do you go to, Matt? Go.
Okay. If I've committed a horrible crime?
Horrible crime.
All right. Then I go live in Italy. I go straight to Vatican City. I just go surround myself with popes, cardinals, bishops. I just go hunker down. This is assuming that I did the bad thing and then I immediately regretted it.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of
going
out on a limb there.
But. Yeah. Right. Or not immediately, but like just in my
eventually,
mind.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah,
so maybe
if broke that guy's toes.
Maybe. Right. Maybe if I didn't regret it, but I go and I just go hang out with Pope Francis enough, he'll make me want to regret it. So then I did the bad thing. But then I'm trying to hedge my bets.
You certainly could have picked a country with worse food. So, you know, I think you'd be pretty happy in Italy.
And if Pope Francis is just talking too much and just kind of bothering me, I can go escape to the hills, you know, northern Italy, or go down to southern Italy.
Just make pasta for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and then in a few years when I weigh 400 pounds, you can just roll me out into the ocean, push me around. I could drive those mini cars that they drive. So I think that would be where I would go.
That's a fine choice, and on no notice, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
The team, they changed their name in the early 90s from something that was a little too violent to something that, in my opinion, is a little over-Disneyfied. And I think they're starting to realize that because their mascot has been completely removed from their jerseys. And we're about to find out who that team is. They got some new colors. And we're going to have an exciting guest on that show, too. So find out on the next episode of Brick House. We'll be right back.